I want you to turn with me over to the First Kings. I just talked with you just a few minutes tonight because I took quite a bit of time in the preliminary part of it. But I just felt like saying some things to you. There's times when I want to talk with you. And that's the only way I can get things over to you to keep our sanctuary clean. In the book of Kings, in the 21st verse, or chapter, first book of Kings, 21st chapter. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seems good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, unto the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the walls of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abundantly in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorite, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. Now, you know, that's kind of hard to understand, ain't it? When you really consider it, here a man does evil, and because the man repents of his evil, just falls down prostrate before God and repents of his evil, though he's been a wicked man and none like him, the Bible said, yet God is so gracious and kind, because he just falls down and repents over his evil, God doesn't lift the evil, but he just says, I'll bring it to pass in his son's day. I'll bring it to pass in his son's day. Because he humbleth his heart before me, because he falls down the way he does, I'll bring it to pass in his son's day. One thing that we can understand is that Ahab was not the one that killed Naboth. It was his wife. And see, the thing that God was getting at was to punish Jezebel, who was a daughter of a heathenistic tribe, or a king over a heathenistic tribe from a heathen country. See, but Ahab was a king over Israel. And God didn't want to kill the king of Israel. You understand what I'm saying? God does things strange a lot of times that we don't understand. But see, God has to work things out so as not to reproach the people of God and not to hinder the work of God. Not all kings that go to the throne are good kings. Not all presidents that goes to the White House is good presidents. But there's one thing that we can have the consolation of, and that is that God ruleth in the affairs of men. The days of Daniel, Daniel stood and told the king, said, all of these things happen, O king, to let you know one thing, that just because you're a king and you're sitting upon the throne, that doesn't mean that you have your way about things, but God still ruleth in the affairs of mankind. I like that, don't you? In the day that we're living in, just because Carter is president, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have his way in the affairs of men anymore. God still ruleth in the affairs of men. And we that are Christian people, standing off at a distance that seems so unimportant to the public and to the president, we are the ones that's watching the handwriting on the wall. We're the ones, as Daniel of old, that's able to read the handwriting on the wall when Jimmy doesn't know what it's all about. Even the little spots that they placed in his head over in India, I'm sure that Jimmy has no idea of the handwriting on the wall. But you and I can look off through the eyes of God, and we can behold what's going on and see that handwriting on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle. You farce in America, thou art weighed in the balances of God, and thou art found wanting. God is going to bring America to her knees. So then, when this thing happened, this evil thing happened, it really denoted an outstanding thing. Don't forget, the vineyard that belonged to this man was typical of Israel. How many of you know that? It was typical of Israel. This vineyard that belonged to him, it was typical of Israel. And I made the statement that the Catholic powers that will rule, the evil Antichrist, the one thing that they're going to want to get a hold of is Israel. Every great king that's ever rose up, the one interest they had was to get a hold of Israel. Jimmy Carter has been so greatly interested in Israel ever since he went to the throne. Is that right? Over here it's a king, it's a throne. We call it a president. Now, but they've always had problems.
Naboth doesn't want to give up his little vineyard. He says, it's the inheritance of my father. Jimmy Carter says, you're a bunch of foolish people. Why not give that land to the Arabs over there and forget about the thing? And let's have world peace. But they say, Jimmy, you don't understand. That belonged to my father. See, somebody say, why do you carry that old razor around? Why don't you throw it in the rubbish? Say, but you don't understand the man that used it. I'm so fond of him. You understand what I'm saying? And so then they couldn't rest till they got Naboth's vineyard. But the only way that they could get it was to kill Naboth. And finally, Jezebel, with her evil, cunning device, finally came up with something to do away with the man that owned the vineyard. Isn't that right? That's the way it is today in America today, the Jezebel fashions. This Jezebel church, this great thing now, is coming up to overthrow the Jews. If you notice, the thing that Jezebel used was, she said, call a fast. Is that right? Call a great feast. Call a great thing to set him up on high. Is that right? Using a religious stride, a religious gathering, to be able to overthrow and to bring to pass her evil way of life. Satisfying her evil desire. Jezebel said, I can get it for you, Ahab. And that's the way it is today. The only way for them to take the country of Israel is to kill out the great leaders of Israel, because the leaders of Israel will never change the customs of Israel and surrender Israel to any unionized way of life, except it be according to God's word in their understanding. They are a religious people. It is an inheritance from their fathers, and they're not going to give it up, neither for Jimmy Carter, for America, for any queen or king or anybody else. The only way they'll ever get possession is to work some evil, undermining thing and go in there and make a covenant with them, trying to establish the house of God. And they'll be deceived by it because of their deep interest in God and their sincerity in God. And the enemy will be able, seemingly, to take away that which belongs to them. That's exactly what happened here. They lifted him up on high, everything looked well, and then they killed him and took his vineyard. But did you notice something? Just about the time that old Ahab started down to the vineyard, Jezebel, she came around, she said, everything's all right, Ahab. Said, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm the mastermind. I'll take care of it. I've got everything all right. Just go down there and take the land. But the Bible said, just about the time that Ahab got down to the land, I can picture in my mind, as the scripture said, that he was walking over it and he thought, my, this is so beautiful. I'm so happy. Everything I've ever wanted, I've got. I'm king of Israel. And this one little vineyard is just so beautiful, so breathtaking. Now Naboth is dead and it's all mine. And about that time, that great bald-headed prophet, or whatever he was, walked up. And when he walked up, he said, thus saith the Lord. I imagine Ahab started shaking like that and turned around. It probably caused him to shake in his boots. Turned around and probably said, I just imagine that's what happened. Said, my enemy finally found me. And he said, yes, because you've worked evil, I found you at last. I found you. Notice this now. When this prophet was saying, thus saith the Lord, and speaking to him, if you'll notice the manner that he spoke to him in, it shows you that it wasn't Elijah talking, for the Bible said, and the Lord further said. See, as Elijah said, thus saith the Lord, and Elijah was talking, and it seemed like Elijah was just relating something, all of a sudden the scripture breaks in and it says, and God further said. See, the Lord further said, thus saith the Lord, Ahab, because thou hast set thyself to work evil. Evil. He said, the same place that the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, they'll lick your blood. Did you know that when Jehu took over the kingship, when Jezebel was thrown down, did you know when the eunuchs throwed Jezebel down, that the Bible said the dogs eat her? Came and eat her up. Now, that's something abnormal. Did you know that? If you had a dead person around here, dogs most likely wouldn't eat them. But yet the dogs came and eat the body of Jezebel. Licked the blood. Came and eat the body. Because the prophet had said that she will be as dung upon the face of the earth. The dogs ate her. If America is that Jezebel that's determined to take the land of Israel, there's coming a time when God is going to draw her and all of the other nations into that valley over there. And when God gets through with her, she won't be fit for nothing but the fowls of the air and for the dogs to eat. Did you know that? I made the statement here the other night, reading from a little article, that the buzzards are multiplying in the valley over there in a greater way than they've ever known in the history of mankind in that country. In that one valley, they said it's just in this one valley that they are laying, whereas they've laid one egg, said they're laying multiplied amounts of eggs. Because God made the statement, He said, come to the great supper of the Lord. That's going to be a marriage supper. A great marriage supper is going to take place. God's got a great supper ready. And He said to all the fowls of the heavens, gather thyself together, He said, and come and partake of my supper. Great supper. Calling them together in the valley of Hinnom. Calling them together in that great valley for the battle of Armageddon. Coming together. I've been over there. We've made the statement from the pulpit. I've been over there. And I've stood on the mountain and looked out across that valley. And when I looked out across that valley, I couldn't hardly believe it. As I looked, I thought, God, is this the valley that you spoke of in the Bible? When you spoke of that valley in the Bible, I thought you meant a great valley, but a place not like this. I looked and there was acres and acres and acres down between the mountains. And I thought to myself, will the blood in this valley actually run up to the horse's bridle? You know, it's hard to believe. When you see a valley like that valley, and you think that the blood is going to be so deep that it'll run up to the horse's bridle, you think, God, how many people are there in the world? How many people? Why, you'd have to bring everything on the face of the earth practically to bring blood up that high in this valley. But see, all around that valley, our guides told us that already all around that valley that the Russian people had taken over, that the Jews had been driven out, and for many years those Russian people had gotten in there around that valley. In there around that valley. They had gathered themselves in there around the valley, coming in few at a time until the whole settlement around the valley was a Russian settlement. Now, I don't mean this against the Russian people because they are human beings like you and I, and they're good people, many good people. But I'm speaking of the allegoric type of the evil powers of communism. That's where your buzzards are. That's the bunch of buzzards that keeps laying the eggs and multiplying. See, God drove back the Jewish people, brought in the communistic power to show the buzzards. There's certain people in this world that represents buzzards. Now, buzzards are typical of people. How do you know that? People who feed off of the dead. You know, eagles feed off of living meat. Isn't that right? Live meat. But buzzards feeds off of them that's twice dead. And plucked up by the root. If you want to see a few old buzzards, watch them now. And they'll be around the table and this will say, I know how to get 50 out of them. And somebody say, I'll tell you what, if we do such and such, we can get 150 out of them. And somebody say, we pool our efforts, we can get 1,000 out of them. A bunch of buzzards, see. They're dead and laying out there and them buzzards just a swarming, trying to figure out how in the world they're going to get an extra 50. Them's buzzards. But you don't find eagles doing that, now do you? Eagles don't do that. Eagles make their nest among the rocks. See, they're looking for something alive. Looking for something alive. It's like I said the other night. One of the leaders, one of the outstanding leaders, I saw a vision of them the other night. They had up a great symbol about 6 feet by 3 or something in the middle of the road. And I looked at it and it was supposed to be an eagle. And it was their symbol for their ministry. And I looked at it, it looked like some of the feathers off the wings have been plucked. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that isn't an eagle. That's a buzzard. See, they thought that they were projecting an eagle, but according to the vision, it was a buzzard. That means that those people have gotten out of the will of God, separated themselves from Christ, and instead of carrying on the message of God, they have got a bunch of dead people, and it's turned into something that is meat for the buzzards. You understand what I'm saying? When you reject God's Spirit, when you separate yourself from God's Spirit, you are dead. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Pentecostal. It doesn't matter what you are. When you separate yourself from God after having known God's truth, you are meat for the buzzards. And they'll be out to get you. Now you say, well, how long will it take them? Just a little while till you start stinking and they get a good whiff. And they'll come after you. So then, the buzzards are multiplying in the valley. Communism has encircled the valley. And the buzzards are multiplying. Because God is preparing a great supper. And that great supper is for the fowls of the heavens. The fowls of the heavens are going to feed off of the flesh of great men. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that demon spirits, evil powers, are feeding off of the carcass of great people today that God has rejected. God has rejected them, bankers and dentists and lawyers and great men that feel that they're great and filled with prestige in life. The demons and devils, the buzzards of the air, the fowls of the air, the evil powers are picking them clean. Picking them clean. Did you know that? Lust devils. I spoke of some of them tonight. Lust devils are some people that come here that won't get in and gone with God. They're dead and they're beginning to smell. And the buzzards is on the trail. And the lust demons, like that man said, three devils had a hold of him. Picking the bones. Picking the bones. You can say you're a preacher. You can say you're a Christian. You can say that you are a leader. It doesn't make any difference. If you are not holy and filled with the Holy Ghost and clean and righteous, the devils will pick your bones. Alright, so then there is no way that they can take the little vineyard unless they kill out Naboth first. There's no way. Those people will never surrender it up. No way. They're not going to give up their inheritance. They don't care about America. Israel isn't fighting to try to take America. When has Israel ever waged war against America to say, we want to come over there and take America? Israel hasn't done that. Israel is satisfied with her country. She's pleased with her country. She doesn't care if you have America. She wants her country. But she wants you to leave them alone over there. Is that right? When I say she, it's a he. But they want you to leave them alone over there. See, they don't want your country. But they don't want you meddling with their country either. They want you to stay in America. And don't come over there bothering those people over there. As far as taking their country. But Russia, always boiling like a pot. Never satisfied. See, wherever the devil gets, people are never satisfied. Red China boiling like a pot, not satisfied. What is that old communistic devil, see, rolling through the country, boiling like a pot. And now the demon and devils of communism has got over here in the United States. Now America, she's boiling like a pot. She can't be satisfied. Somebody wants to punch somebody in the nose. Somebody wants to take somebody else's wife. Somebody wants to take somebody else's husband. Somebody wants to get somebody else's son and daughter in golf and have a frolic and turn them into a bunch of dope addicts or hippies. Is that right? Somebody said, "I bless Pat, I don't like the situation. I'm going to burn the church down." They've even threatened to burn the church down at Little Bethlehem since we've been here. What is it? It's Satan working in the midst of the people. It's evil spirits. If we don't get rid of the evil spirits that come around Little Bethlehem, we're never going to excel for God. If you can't quit your resentment and your haughtiness and get away from your evil, we're never going to have a temple of God. This is God's temple right here. And the devil is after taking it. That one little old spot in there that's neighbor's vineyard back down in there. That little spot called the kingdom of God. See, the devil's got all of the world everywhere. Got it. He's got control of it. But he just can't be satisfied. He sees that one little group of people that on the inside is such a beautiful little vineyard. And he keeps saying over and over, I've got to get them. I've got to get control of them. And old Jezebel will cross her dirty legs, paint her filthy lips, and get as religious as she can and say, just wait, give me a little time, I'll get them. We'll set them up on high, and everybody will say, hail, 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 the Pentecostals. And then when we get them set up there, we'll close in for the kill. I'll make them just as dirty as I am. But you know what? Just about the time she gets her evil hands on them and the Pentecostal world is good and dead, God's going to say, thus saith the Lord. And God's going to begin to shake old Ahab and Jezebel until her teeth rattle, so to speak. And this old world's going to begin to go like that until it's going to be like she's up at Six Flags somewhere. That's right. God's going to rock this world just like a baby in a swing. And he's going to shake the heavens till the stars fall out on her head. And then when God gets through, they'll know that the vineyard still belongs to Naboth. Still belongs to Naboth. You said, how can that be? God looked down when Cain killed Abel. And when he looked down, he said, what have you done? Said, the blood of your brother crieth to me from the ground. Crying to me from the ground. See, we reckon ourselves to be dead, but our blood cries to God from the ground. They've literally killed us. They've oppressed us. Somebody said, well, I ain't dead. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Jerry told me the other day, said, Brother Pike said, I had a dream where the pressure was so great till finally it took your breath and killed you. That's true. I die daily. Every once in a while it kills me. But I got the resurrection and the light. Somebody said, but one of these days you ain't going to make it back up. You just wait and see if I don't make it back up. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. See, the devil can't stand it because of the virtuous woman in the world. Isn't that right? He's got his pretty boys running everywhere. Them old devil, filthy, pretty boys. All over the country, you know. Trying to get that one decent little woman defiled. The dirty, filthy things that's going on among the law. I was informed during this thing concerning Brother McCrary. Police woman and a policeman riding together. And he's constantly trying to subdue and overthrow the woman. Him a married man and her a single woman. Dirty, low down. That's the law. That's the condition of the world. Why? Because the devil can't stand virtues. Did you know that? Paul said if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. He can't stand virtue. The reason is because God is a spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, has to have virtue to live in. Wherever there's virtue, life can dwell there. Life can dwell there. And wherever there's virtue, the devil can't come. Did you know that? The devil can't live in a house of virtue. There's no way. That's why Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Godliness, holiness, righteousness, virtue. You love Jesus? See, the devil can't stand nothing virtuous. He wants to contaminate, tear down, push down, do anything he can to get a hold of Naboth's vineyard. But the Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, from out of it comes forth the issues of life. Out of it comes forth the issues of life. You love Jesus? Be clean, because God knows you and God knows who you are and God knows what you are now and what you was day before yesterday. How do you believe God knows what you was day before yesterday? All right. A lot of times I stand up here trying to teach you virtue to keep your heart clean, and I tell you things, not calling you out as individuals, because right now, what if I called out a few that I know that God has revealed the condition of their past and call them up here before you and told them publicly what it was, wouldn't that be an embarrassing situation? Wouldn't that be an embarrassing situation? Somebody said, well, that's a good way to squirm out of it. I'm not squirming out of it. It's the truth, so help me God. I know who they are and what it is and how it came about. See, but the thing is, I don't want to do that. I want to help you. You're my people here. And no matter what your past is, I want you to clean up from it. But I want you to stop dragging devils and demons into the church. I want to keep Jezebel out of Little Bethlehem and keep things clean out here to where we can have a clean heart and a clean life. The same way that I see those things, I also know that some of you have been playing around with women. It's like Brother Branham said one time, he said, I'm going to stop some of these things that's coming across my platform. And he cut out on some of them. Some of you men that are so jealous about your wives been messing around too much with women. Let me tell you something. You better wake up because the judgments of God is coming. They're coming. So you better wake up. Some of the mothers and daddies here need to get a better hold on their sons and daughters. If you don't, you're going to have sorrow. I told some of them here not too long ago. I said something is going to happen out of wedlock because I saw it and saw the women. And it happened exactly that way to the daughters. They wouldn't listen, but it happened. You need to get a hold of them. I told somebody the other day, and I don't mean this wrong because I have problems with mine. But even the judge spoke of man and said that he don't need his children because he's not watching them close enough. Now that's bad when the judge begins to say that. And yet I know the person's got problems. I know that I've got problems. But I'm telling you, we need to watch our children. We need to do something. Get straightened out. We can't blame everybody else with what our young'uns do. Did you know that? How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, you got off your subject. I'm not off my subject. My subject is virtue in the home and the hearts of the children, wherever. We need to get right with God. You say, but you was talking about neighbor's vineyard. That is neighbor's vineyard. Wherever there's virtue in the heart of a child or in the heart of a man and woman, that's God's place. And we need to do something about it. A child left to himself will bring shame. How do you understand that? If you leave your daughter to herself, she'll bring shame. You leave a son to himself, he'll bring shame. A man that caused me a lot of problems, I asked him not to do a thing. And he made way and done it anyway to cause me problems with my children. Today that man's got all kinds of problems with his children. Some of them's even forsaken him, said they'll never go to see him anymore. But I waited. Not that I desired it, but I said, God, he done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he hurt me, but I'll pray. And the day will come, though I don't desire it, but I know it will, because the Bible says so, that he'll pay down to the last farthing. Get a hold of your wife. Bring your wife under subjection. I don't mean to beat her brains out and to put her in a prison. I don't mean that. Somebody said, well, I'm trying my best to get her under subjection. I tell her, she better not, she better not, she better not. That ain't the way to bring a wife under subjection. The way to bring a wife under subjection is you live so holy and righteous and pure and pray so much until she's so afraid she won't do anything but subject herself to you. She'll find you in such a way that she won't do anything but honor you. She'll be afraid to do anything else. The Bible said, go out and compel them to come into the house of God that my house might be filled. You're not going to go out there and throw a rope around them and beat them over the head. But you're going to have such a life and such a life and do so many good things and show them so much love until they say, wherever you got that, I got to have it. I'm coming out to see about it. You love Jesus? I'm talking about virtue. Let's get rid of Jezebel. Let's feed her to the dogs. I'm for it. I might say, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I'm for it. Let's feed her to the dogs. She's dog meat. Let's feed her to the dogs. That's what God wanted to do with her to start with. Feed her to the dogs. That's where she belongs. That's the prophecy of God. She'll be fed to the dogs. And you know, let's speak in spiritual a little bit. I've mentioned this before. But you know, God called the world the dogs. Isn't that right? Them that reject Christ. Isn't that right? She'll become, Paul said, counting all my learning as dung. She'll become dung upon the face of the earth, just an intellectual byword. Is that right? That religious whore will come an intellectual, become an intellectual byword out there. That's what the Bible calls her, the great whore that's set upon many waters. She'll become an intellectual byword among the people. Watch and see if God don't bring it to pass just exactly that way. So let's feed her to the dogs. Let's get her out of little Bethlehem. Let's rise up and take the kingdom. And I say this, and I believe this. This is my conviction. I know that the charismatic order is not right out there. And I know there's a number of other moves that's not right. I know the Church of God needs to move up. The Pentecostal needs to be, our holiness needs to be a little closer to God. And I know the Jesus name people need to come closer to God. But I know that a lot of them belong to Christ. And I know that the city with its great light is shining over the walls and through the walls or whatever. And that great light is bringing in a new earth. And I know that this little heart of it here is too bright for them to come to. Many of them will never be able to come to the brightness of this great light. I know that. But they're going to walk in the light of it out there. And that light that's pushing the world out there and fighting the boycotts and whatever, that out there is going to look somewhere for leadership. And somebody somewhere is going to feed them because they're not that close to God. So then it has to come down from the first heaven to the second heaven to the... right on down. Is that right? I'm counting 1, 2, 3 down. Is that right? Now, if there is a great place of a great light, and I believe it's a little Bethlehem, if there's a great place of a great light, you say, but I don't believe it's a great light. Well, Brother Jerry, he must have saw the wrong kind of vision. He said it was so bright it blinded him and he fell before it. That sounds like same yesterday, today, and forever. So bright Paul fell before it. Is that right? I believe there's a great light at little Bethlehem. And I believe that you can share that light. And maybe everybody isn't going to come over here and praise you. But the thing is, they'll be feeding from you. Like the vision I had not too long ago. I saw the vision, and the political powers of the United States was feeding from little Bethlehem. Come on. I saw it. They didn't give you any glory for it, but it was passed on to them. I had a part in passing it on. It went to this and that and got up there and they fed off of it. But they wouldn't give Bethlehem any glory for it. You ever heard that song, "My Day Shall Come"? There's a song, you know, they sing. My day shall come. Your day will come. Your day will come. But let's be faithful because we're not after vainglory. We just want to do what God has called us to do. Isn't that right? So then Jezebel isn't going to be satisfied until she can put her hands on this little vineyard. And believe me, when I say this, this is the truth. Tiding down the east shall trouble him. No matter how great Antichrist rises over in Jerusalem, there's a little vineyard. It's going to trouble him. He'll never feel like he's king fully until he can get that vineyard. Until he can get that vineyard. And the day he reaches for that vineyard, that's the day he cuts his own throat. It's the same way here. All of the religious powers of the world will never be satisfied until they hem up that little holy, virtuous group that keeps jumping over the barricades. That's right. That's right. When the Methodists got them hemmed up, they jumped the fence. And the Baptists built a fence around them and they jumped the fence. And then the Pentecostal built a fence around them and they jumped the fence again. And every time they think they got them, they always jump the fence. They know that God's with Israel. Isn't that right? That's right. The Bible said, "Peace be unto the Israel of God." How many of you believe you're the Israel of God tonight? You're the true Jew tonight. Peace be unto the Israel of God. So then we are the little vineyard. And they are trying to get it, but they'll never get it. Never get it. That's just a lot of things I'd like to say tonight concerning Nebuchadnezzar and a few things. But maybe another night we might discuss them. I want you to stand with me. You say, well, after service, I'm going to get right down there with you. And I'm going to ask you if you're talking about me. Let me tell you that I'm talking about you, so I won't have to do it the second time. I'll tell you now, and you won't have to bother to come see me. You know I'm talking about you. Talking to you. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say unto all. That's why God's got you here, so I can talk to you. That's why I'm preaching, so I can reach you. If you're not guilty, there's no need for you to go around whining and saying, I wonder if you're talking about me. Because the very fact you come wanting to know that I was talking about you proves that I was talking about you. Or it wouldn't be on your mind. Say, well, no, that's not it, Brother Pike. I just want to get things clear. No, you're lying. You don't want to get things clear. You wouldn't talk about me. You'd come and clear it when you talk about me. You don't bother to come clear it when you talk about me. See, so you're not trying to get clear. You're just trying to get some ease for that dying hide of yours. He's squirming, and that devil's squirming, and he don't want to die and give up. That old flesh don't want to die. All right, so it's good to be a Christian. It's so good. I appreciate Sister Elwin's testimony. We got it on tape. Some of you was under the tent in North Carolina when Sister Elwin gave her testimony. Her and David, when we went into their home, if there ever was a Jezebel, she was a Jezebel. Teaching Sunday school in terrible, terrible situation. But God saved the woman, forgave her of her sins, and turned her around. And she has made so much change that she's willing to publicly stand up and tell the people that she appreciates the Word of God. All right. Yeah, the babies. I'd forgotten all about dedicating the babies. If they'll bring the babies on up, we'll take a few minutes here and just let the parents hold them and dedicate them both together tonight. I don't think we've ever done this, but we will. Just let them hold the babies, and we'll just dedicate them both together. Now, to me, little children are the most wonderful things in the world. The Bible said, of such is the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? And they're so very precious. Now, if sin wasn't in the world, I'd like to be able to live 1,000,000 years and have 500,000 of them. That's right, from of her own. I know that Betty wouldn't want to try to take care of that many, but I believe she'd be willing to try. But I think it's one of the sweetest things in the world is little children. And the only thought I ever have toward them, you know, that you might not appreciate, as I think about the dads and mothers leaving them, you know. I know they forsake them like they did little Snow White that was found in the garbage can. But, see, maybe you have a little child and the daddy dies and the mother dies and the little child's left alone. And that's so horrible. And that's happening every day. As a matter of fact, I believe that the man right over here, right close to us, died maybe today. I got word he died today. I'm not sure, but I believe, I won't call his name, because I believe that he was a fellow that caused us some problems here a while back when we had an opportunity to do something for God, and he wouldn't allow us to do it when he could have helped us in it. He went a different route, and he's a fairly young man, but I think he had a heart attack and died today. But anyway, little children are so precious, so very precious. And it'd be wonderful if daddies and mothers didn't have to die and leave them, and the little children didn't have to die and leave daddies and mothers. So this is why it's so important that we live right, folks. We need to live for God, because the devil is out to kill you. Did you know that? How do you know the devil kills good people as well as he does bad? He killed Brother Branham, and I believe Brother Branham was a good man, don't you? He killed Paul the Apostle, and I believe it. Paul the Apostle was a good man. See, he's out to kill you. He's out to kill and destroy. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to give life. Jesus gives you a little baby with it full of life. Isn't that right? He gives you all the blessings of life. And we need to pray. That's the only protection we got. Watch and pray. We should always watch and pray. If you will, come right up here. And Brother Tilden, come over just a little bit closer here. Now, both of these little children seem to be just as healthy and just as fine as they can be. And I know that the daddies and mothers are very grateful for them. It's a real treasure to them, a real treasure. Everyone that I have is a real treasure to me. There's nothing that I love any better than my wife and my children outside of God. I love Him first and them next. So then they're very precious. Let's just bow our heads together and I want to pray over these little children. I dedicate them. Father of Heaven, tonight, as Brother Tilden and Brother Mack with the wives, bring these little children as they did Samuel of old. Bring them, O God, into the house of the Lord. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the wonderful love of Jesus. Dear God, You're so wonderful, and I'm so very poor and nothing, dear Jesus. But I thank You for Your precious holy presence. I thank You for the loving people of Bethlehem. I thank You for Tilden and Mac and for their companions, for these little darling children. Holy Father of Heaven, look down this night upon them. And oh God, hear our prayer. Father, You gave these children unto them. We give them back unto Thee, Holy Father. Lord, that You might keep them, that they might be Yours as Samuel was. All the days of their life, Jesus, watch over them as little lambs. Nourish them, O God. Give the mother and daddies wisdom to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus. I ask You to heal their little bodies when they're sick. O God, feed these little babies when they're hungry. Take care of them down through life and clothe them when they're destitute, O God. Father, when fears and anxieties come upon them, let the great holy comforting spirit of the mighty Holy Ghost, the mighty Holy Ghost and His angels come near to drive away the shadows, to give the peace and rest. Oh God, in their hearts, their minds and their nerves. Make their enemies to be Thine enemies, oh God. Hear our prayer concerning these babies as we dedicate them from time to time, Jesus. Bring up a great people that belong to Thee, Holy Father. Bless them and heal them and keep them and meet their needs all the days of their life and make their enemies to be Thine enemies. And dear God, drive the evil forces and powers of life back away from them. We ask You to do this in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, Your darling Son, Father. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together before we dismiss. How many of you believe that I really appreciate you? I'd like to see your hand. Now, some of you don't believe that I appreciate you, but I do. You know what a friend is? The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. But you know what a real friend is? A real friend is one who knows all there is to know about you and still loves you. That's the way a minister is. God makes him to know about you, but he still loves you. He still loves you. And I wouldn't say anything to hurt you for anything. But I want to tell you the truth. Because I want your little children to be taken care of. I want you to be a real daddy, a real mother. A judge just make this statement just recently. Said there's not very many mothers anymore. Not very many mothers anymore. A lot of women, but not very many mothers. Now you've heard me make those statements. But it's something when the world begins to do that, isn't it? It's something when a lawyer stands up and say that the law is so busy doing nothing that it doesn't have time to do anything. When the law says that, Paul said one time, said somebody came to him and they said, "Our followers is a bunch of slow bellies." Paul said, "That report's true." So if the lawyer said that of the law, it must be true. He's one of them. He's one of them. But the law is so busy, dilly-dallying around, keeping records, making offices to use more people to get more money, that they don't have time to do what they need to do. You know what I think ought to be done? I really believe that the whole world system, law and everything else, needs to just be pushed off into the ocean, so to speak. Why clean? And God start the whole thing over. And I believe that's what He's going to do. I believe it's what He's going to do. I really believe it's what He's going to do. Just start the whole thing over. How would you like for Him to start over with you? I don't want Him to push me off to you. I want to be one of them that He puts back on the board and starts over with. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. The Bible said Paul was long preaching and fell off and took him up dead. I guess I've been too long preaching because I lost some of my congregation. I would like to ask the young boys that sat back on my left at the next service we have, consider what I'm saying more interesting than playing hands back there the way they did. There's about five or six of them continually kept watching each other. We're not handsome, but Peter said, "Look on us." See, there's a reason. He said, "What reason is for me to look on you?" The Bible said, "I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh." All right. I really appreciate Dale and Frank and the children. I really do. I appreciate them. I chide with them a little, but I appreciate them. Brother Lyman said the other day, said he sure would be glad when Dale come home to play the organ. We don't find fault with Frank, but he said he don't know but three chords. And sometimes we can't get in one of them with him. No, I really need Frank to lead singing. Man. "They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with His light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace. We're a light in His crown to shine." Sing it again. "They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with His light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace. We're light in His crown to shine." Sing it one more time. "They'll come from the east.